You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Shagel here, and I am so excited to talk about the Vegas episode with my incredible co-host, Jackie Moran. Unfortunately, DJ Jesse, my other favorite co-host, is prepping for a big DJ gig at the Avalon in Los Angeles on Saturday. So if you're there, you'll have to check him out. But I do have my favorite Jackie with me. So Jackie, what'd you think of the Vegas episode?
Oh boy, Vegas, baby. Well, thank you for calling me your favorite. Now, am I your favorite Jackie or your favorite in general? I hope both.
But you are in the group of two being my favorite Jays and my favorite co-hosts. You and Jesse are,
okay, good.
Are neck and neck.
Well, speaking of favorites, I don't know. You know, it's kind of funny because you would think I would like this episode because I don't like when it's that sort of tragic drama, Taylor-induced usually. So you would think I would love this episode, but for some reason, I felt like it might have been missing a little something. That is until I saw the naked tushies in my face. And certainly, once that hit, the action got stronger. But other than that, and I know we're going to talk about it, other than that, I'm not sure. I feel like I liked Vegas, but did you feel like something was missing?
I'm totally glad you said something, because it's an episode about Vegas, and I just thought it would be more fun, and I especially thought it would be more fun because when Dana came to talk to us at AfterBuzz during the Emmy Gift Suite, you know, she was all excited, like, oh my God, you have to see the Vegas episode, and this was the Vegas episode, and I feel like I was expecting more. And I think, I don't know, maybe because Kyle and Kim weren't there, or maybe because the two crews of women were separate, something about it just didn't make it as fun as, I mean, the last time they were in Vegas last season, Camille was like crazy, crazy dancing, and they went to a concert, and that was the infamous scene where Taylor was eating the cotton candy all provocatively out of her mouth. So I think I was just expecting more from the episode. The only thing I will say that was so interesting about the episode was the, like, odd and interesting new friendships or alliances, I feel like I should call them, between Lisa and Taylor and Brandy and Camille. Did you kind of feel like, how did you feel about the fact that there were two separate groups in Vegas and not one whole group?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a little strange for me, because you almost expected them to sort of somehow convene or cross each other's paths. And, you know, I'm the first to not really want that kind of, like, drama that just makes you go, ugh. But at the same time, when it's missing, you kind of feel a little empty. So I don't know what I want from these women, but you know, I think that the reason it might have struck me that way is because the two groups were so strangely combined. I wouldn't expect Dana to be with Adrian's group. I wouldn't expect T Taylor to be with Lisa, you know? So I think maybe that's what was throwing me off, is they almost felt like the wrong mix if you're going to keep two groups separate. They didn't feel like the right mixing of women.
And it's like, forever, how much I love the new Brandy and Kyle BFFs, or more than BFFs, Brandy and Camille, I'm sorry, the BFFs of Brandy and Camille, though they might be more than BFFs, as we saw on the show. For however much I love them, I equally hate the fake friendship of Lisa and Taylor. I totally hate it. I thought that reeked of producers, because first of all, Pandora herself said, I don't want drama at my wedding. If you don't want drama, like your wedding, your bachelorette party, Taylor is the last person you want there. Second of all, Taylor is so fake, and I love Lisa, but the fact that Lisa almost carried on with this friendship makes me think she's fake too. Do they not remember that just 3 episodes ago, Taylor was like down Lisa's throat and like they hated each other? And that's what I hate about Taylor, is like 3 episodes ago, she's hating Lisa and she's confiding in Camille. And now all of a sudden she's hating Camille and she's confiding in Lisa. And I just thought it was so fake. And I really, really, really dislike this duo.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mari. For some reason, it rubs me the wrong way more with Taylor, and I don't know if that's just a biased opinion because she constantly does this, or if Lisa is just as much in the wrong, but she gets away with it because of the way she approaches things. I'm not sure, but you would think, I am disappointed in Lisa that she kind of fakely took Taylor under her wing. I mean, she never really feels fake to me, but this can't be all of a sudden. I mean, I think maybe Lisa's like, all right, I'll take her in, you know, darlings, you know, fine. You know, definitely a producer thing. But Taylor is the one who is this, again, flip-flopper for me. And I just think that she has no, I mean, it's her birthday, and she's with someone, like you said, Mari, who just an episode or two ago she hated, and now she's spending her birthday with these women. And it's not even women. It's Lisa and her daughter and her daughter's friends. It's just, it really makes no sense to me. And again, Taylor not making sense to me. Just really not having that backbone, that sense of realness that we talk about. You know, it's just all showing yet again in this scene, and it just makes no sense. It really did not. This pairing, I don't think it was interesting because it plainly had no depth. And is that the case every week with Taylor? I think so.
The thing is, I think the only reason why Lisa agreed to this fake friendship was this was the only way of keeping Lisa relevant into the show. Honestly, week after week, Lisa has had her own storyline separate from the rest of the girls, which makes me really, really think she's definitely getting a spinoff. And, you know, every week she's not at the big event. And this week, maybe the producers were like, okay, we can't keep having you do just totally separate events. Let's bring Taylor onto the crew. That's what I think, because I think they need something to kind of keep Lisa relevant in terms of the other girls. And while I love Lisa, and she was absolutely hysterical in the Chippendale scene, and it was so funny because Taylor was so uptight, which kind of tells me a lot about her love life with Russell. But Taylor was so uptight, but Lisa was loving it. But the thing is, I feel like they didn't show enough of Adrian's Vegas party and Vegas side, because I feel like that one had to be more fun. And I feel like maybe they were focusing on the Taylor-Lisa one. I don't know. What did you think? But yes, the Chippendale scene was fun, but I don't know. I would have liked to have seen more of, like, Brandy, more of Dana. I don't know.
Totally agree. Can we talk about the Chippendale scene for a second? Because as small as it was, the number of butt cheeks that were in my face on that screen, you know, you'd think I'd be as shocked as Taylor seemed to be, but with everything we've seen on this show, it might not even be the most shocking thing I've seen, but was it a little risque and still hysterical, and Lisa taking it in stride like she always does, her funny one-liners. She got up on that stage and she was comfortable as could be, totally owned it. And then there's Taylor, who was, as you said, it shows a lot about her personal life because she was so bad, so uncomfortable. And I don't know, I actually was kind of surprised by that for some reason. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything with her anymore. But I did think she was strangely awkward there, but very funny scene. And yes, I do agree that, you know, Adrian's party seemed to kind of come and go. They showed maybe 30 seconds of Camille and Brandy, which looked like it got even racier than the Chippendale scene, and we barely even saw it.
Yeah, no, I definitely would have liked to see more of Adrian's party. I just think that it was, I don't know, I feel like there was more going on there, and I love Brandy and Camille. I'm calling them the new First Wives Club. They're almost better than the original First Wives Club duo of Goldie Hawn, Diane Keaton, and Bette Midler, because the two of them were, I mean, getting it on the dance floor. I would have liked Dana to join in on the action. But I don't know. I like their friendship. I think that Brandy is fun. She brings out a more fun side of Camille, because Camille's been pretty down this season. And, you know, she was really fun last season before everything went down with Kelsey. She always was, like, risque. All the women were kind of jealous of her because she'd get a little too close to their guys. But she was fun, and I think that she's kind of lost that. And so, I don't know, it's fun having Brandy around and to bring out that side of her. So I just would have liked to have seen more of Brandy and Camille. And for everything that Dana said, like, oh my God, the Vegas episode, that's why I'm thinking that there must have been more that we didn't see. Because Dana was barely in it. The only time she was in it was like the typical Dana moment of, oh, you know, this lollipop necklace is this much and this is that much. Which, by the way, a friend of mine told me she was curious why Dana always talks about this expensive jewelry. So she Googled what her husband does. And I know Dana's like described her husband as like an eye banker type, but I guess he's been in the jewelry business or is in the jewelry business. And so she very well could be promoting the products like that he has. And that makes more sense because it's like she doesn't have the nicest house of everyone. She doesn't have the nicest things. And so she comes out with these like $25,000 sunglasses or this, you know, so-and-so $1,000 lollipop necklace. So that makes a lot more sense. But I feel like I keep saying the same thing every week to Bravo producers. More Brandy, more Dana.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was so excited to see Dana walk in coming off of our interview at the Emmys where she said, Vegas, you know, definitely I've been there being on a reality show when you know how much goes on, hours and hours and hours of filming, and in your own head, especially her being new to the reality filming scene, you think, oh my God, they're going to see this moment and that moment and this moment, and essentially it turns into 1 second out of 1,000 hours, you know? So I almost feel like she wasn't misleading us with that interview. I think she didn't know herself that it was going to be cut down so short, because think of how much must have went on that turned into a couple of, you know, 30-second or couple of minute segments on this hour show. So I think that's kind of what happened there. But even so, even in those few seconds, we got our Dana-isms that we love. I loved how she was like that swooning best friend wannabe, like when we're with Adrian, it's like being with royalty. It's just, it's what you love about her. And of course, I know if Jesse were on the line with us, he'd love it just as much. And we're going to have to tweet about that. But another person, speaking of tweets, who did tweet me as well, Mari, was Camille, and she was so nice to wish us a happy holiday and said that she wishes us well on the show, and I asked her to call in, so we'll see if one week we can get Camille to call in. But boy, would I love that, because what I tweeted was that I am so Team Camille, but I should have said Team Camille and Brandy, because this is First Wives Club, but the late night version. I mean, them dancing on the dance floor was like, you know, you'd think that they were teenagers out there. Brandy was so getting it on, even by herself. And I'm sure the guys who tune in liked watching that. But so funny. I do like to see them let loose like that. They didn't really do anything too bad. But Brandy always talking about those kind of slut comments, you kind of wonder how far that really went. But certainly, I love them together. I think it was fun. I actually think it was more fun to watch, and I did want more. I totally agree on that. And I don't know, maybe it's because Adrienne, you know, she's a very strong businesswoman. Maybe she only wanted to show certain parts to portray her business in a good light. I'm not really sure, but it is all about business at the end of the day. I don't disbelieve it for one second that Dana is promoting her expensive jewelry. That just sounds just about right to me, but I definitely wanted more, and I love what we saw.
And now let's talk about my other favorite duo, but they go way back, Faye Resnick and Kyle. I'm thinking this is the third episode in a row that we've seen Faye. I'm thinking either she's getting a spinoff show, or more likely she's going to be a permanent wife next season. I mean, with Lisa most likely getting a spinoff, with Kim most likely not returning, or I have a feeling she's not going to return, they're going to need some new wives, and I think that, and with Faye's drama with Camille already there, and you know, I think that Faye is going to take a bigger role in the show. But I love them. I think Kyle and Faye are so fun, and the chandelier scene was hilarious, and I don't know. I like that duo. What do you think about that duo?
I definitely like that duo, and I do agree that I think they are testing some of these other housewives, because as much as I love Dana, I do worry that she won't return. I just have this funny feeling. As much as I don't want it to happen, I'm definitely going to tweet in her favor. But I definitely get the sense, because Lisa's One Direction, Taylor's a mess, Kim's a mess. You know, there's a lot up in the air, I think, for next season. And from Dee Dee to Faye, I definitely think they're testing the waters, and I do think Brandy will make a return, but Faye, definitely what I've seen of her, I do like, and I do like that, you know, especially because if we may not be seeing Kim anymore, she's kind of somebody who's in with Kyle, which will make it sort of make sense for Kyle, and, you know, the chandelier scene was hysterical. I actually, my jaw dropped wide open, because I wondered how much she was going to have to pay for that, or if she even did, I don't know. But definitely a funny scene, and I like what I've seen of Faye. I wouldn't mind seeing more.
Yeah, so I'm loving them as a duo. I'm loving Brandy and Camille as a duo. I just hope that this Lisa Taylor thing was just for this episode and this episode only. I just really, really hope that doesn't continue. Before we get into, I don't know, I feel like I'm holding off on talking about Kim just because it was so sad. But before we get into that, let's talk about my ultimate favorite duo of Adrienne and Paul. Their bickering was like to a whole nother level last night. But I don't know, like, normally I would find bickering either annoying, or I would worry that bickering that much isn't a good sign for the marriage. But I don't know. I think that their bickering is like fun and funny, and I don't know. Paul is hysterical. I love that Taylor, which we'll talk about her Watch What Happens Live appearance on Monday night, last Monday night. But I love that Taylor referred to Paul as the seventh housewife, because he totally is. I'm totally just going to refer to him as the seventh housewife from now on. Because you can tell he totally loves the spotlight. He loves the appearance on The Doctors. And I don't know. I just think I think Paul and Adrian are such a funny duo, and he is the seventh housewife because he, as for all husbands, he's in the show the most.
Yes, absolutely. This is one of a few things. Either they need some testosterone on the show, and he definitely makes a great character, and he feeds right into it. And speaking of him being on The Doctors, I thought it was so funny how Adrian just calls him out, because that's how I am kind of with my boyfriend, and I could totally relate to them, because we kind of do that same kind of thing where you call each other out, but you don't really mean it. You could tell they have a great relationship. I love that he's on The Doctors talking about eating healthy, and she's on the sides being like, yeah, he has several small meals a day, candy, popcorn, nuts. You know, I thought that was so funny. But either it's getting some testosterone on the show, or it is like the spin-off testing season, because they could be a spin-off. Paul could be a spin-off. They're definitely doing this power couple portrayal with them, and I feel like something's going to come out of them being portrayed so much as a couple. I get the sense. I get that sense with a lot of these women, though. So it's hard to tell why they're showing them so much as the power couple, maybe because they're really the only strong power couple. But Lisa and Ken are pretty funny, too. So I don't know. I think it's a sign of something to come.
Yeah. And now before we get into Kim and probably one of the saddest segments of the whole season, because the Taylor segment's like... It's hard to feel bad for her, but I genuinely felt bad for Kim. But so we'll get into that. But first, I want to take a second to discuss all of the fashion with my fashion guru, Jackie Moran. First, I want to ask you about the wedding dresses, and then I want to ask you about Kyle's, I thought, absolutely spectacular photo shoot for her book. So what did you think about Pandora's wedding dresses? Because I personally didn't love the options. I feel like, especially with wedding dresses, less is more, and the simpler the better. And I just thought she was getting dressed, like, too frou-frou, too much going on, roses or tulle or, like, ruching. And, she's a very pretty girl, but she's not, like, the most model-esque body. And so I just think that a simpler silhouette would be the best option for her. What do you think?
I do have to say that I think Lisa always looks great, but here's the typical syndrome for me of women who have money to spend that end up wanting to just throw down money on as many ruffles, pleats, and diamonds as they can on one dress. And to me, it's called cupcake dress syndrome, where you end up looking like a cupcake because you have so much puff, so many, you know, the one with the roses and the pink and everything, it was so much layering. You know, the thing with layering, and I call it the cupcake dress when it's that kind of dress where you can literally just, it can stand up by itself. There's so much puff and layering. But the problem with dresses like that is you kind of have to be, as you said, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but you have to be, it adds weight to anybody. So yeah. You have, the thinner and taller you are, the easier it is to carry a cupcake dress, so to speak. You just end up looking like a pile of fabric, and you spend all this money when the secret, in my opinion, to a successful wedding dress is having people still look at you, look at your face, and say, wow, she looks amazing. You want the dress to enhance you. You want to wear it. You don't want the dress to wear you. So I do have to agree with you, Mari, where I don't love her options. I think she wants to be over the top, but I think the pink, if she goes with a pink color, it makes her look even paler, doesn't complement her skin tone. I think she gets lost in the fluff and the frou-frou-ness, and I think she would look amazingly stunning in a lace gown or something with just a simpler flowing fabric, even if she did an exaggerated silhouette. I think she should either have gone for texture and diamonds and simple silhouette or a exaggerated silhouette with not as much ornate detailing. So I didn't see it on last night's episode, but I do hope. I don't think they ended up choosing one, did they? It seems
not that I could tell.
Yeah, I have a feeling they didn't end up choosing one. But because that's kind of how we were left off open-ended, unless they just didn't want us to know. But I hope that they held out and kept looking.
Yeah. And now, I thought Kyle's photo shoot for her book, which, of course, they had to, like, have something promoting her book on, like, during the season. First we had, you know, Adrian's shoes, and now we had Kyle's book. But I thought the photo shoot, I thought she was fierce. She was giving it, and I loved it. I loved the dresses. I thought she modeled great. I thought Portia was adorable. And I thought the photos, from what I could tell, turned out great. I thought she was, like, you know, I've been doing America's Next Top Model with you all season, that I'm like, I have a closer eye when I judge, like, photos and modeling, and I thought she was fierce. I thought Tyra would be proud. What do you think?
I do have to say, there are women that just have that inner model in them, and I think we all kind of have the inner model in us, but certainly some women, if she were able to fit the elements, I bet Kyle would have been a model, because you can just tell she just loves that camera. She always does perfect makeup. She has great, I think she has a great sense of style, actually. And I'm not sure if she chose
the style.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not anybody's certain definition of, you know, it's not New York City style. It's not even super celebrity style. It's just Kyle. It says Kyle all over it. She wears it so well, and I think it's so her what she chooses. And that's what I think is the key to having good style. But that being said, I'm not sure if she ended up choosing those outfits, because you tend to have a stylist, but I'm sure she had say if she didn't choose them herself. And I think she really stuck to pieces that really represented her and looks that, for a shoot like that, you still, as she said, want to represent yourself, because you're not selling another person's product, you're selling yourself and your product. So she did a great job of that. She did do a great job on the camera. And I actually was trying to pick my favorite look out of the few flashes that we saw. And I loved all of them for different reasons. So that's always a successful shoot when you have options like that. And I think it was a great shoot.
And now we have to talk about Kim, which, first of all, I love that Kyle is now going to be, like, styling Estella, because Kyle has great style. But why was, like, Kim so weird around Estella and so standoffish? I don't know if there was something going on between them, or if Kim was, like, literally about to have a breakdown and she just wanted to kind of be alone with her sister. There she was in the middle of a shop and with cameras rolling. So do you know why she was, like, so weird with Estella?
I know. You know, the whole scene with Kim, let me just start by saying this. We see somebody in distress on this show, like a tailor, and we don't feel bad for them. We're not terrible people, because here's an example of somebody who I did see in distress, who I did believe it from, and your instincts don't lie. Kim, this was Kim, whatever her, she has problems, but she, that's it. She's not faking it. She's not doing it for cameras. She's not flip-flopping. Her problems are her problems, and that's why you look at someone like her who you do believe is in complete, distress, and you feel so bad for them. I mean, of course you want to shake her and say, what is wrong with you, woman? But you watch this scene, and it does. It makes you sad. You connect to her. You feel bad for her. You wish you could help her. And even, you know, her starting with the neck excuses, not going to Vegas, then we see her running into Kyle. She's obviously fine. You know, she's making these excuses. She's not in the scenes. She has this breakdown. We know from news and gossip that she had to go to a rehab or whatever. This woman is in so much trouble in her life, and you feel so bad. And I do think that what I took from her and Estella, I do think it was that she was about to have a breakdown, if I could put my two cents in. And I do think she was just trying to kind of avoid real people and real conversation. But you wonder if these scenes are fixed with the cameras, like her running into her. Did she really run into her or not? Either way, Kim's drama is real, and you can just sense it.
Yeah. I know. I genuinely felt so bad for her, and that's what's different. I don't that's what's different with Taylor, and I don't understand it, because both these women put themselves in these situations. Taylor put herself in the situation with Russell. Kim is putting herself in this situation with Ken and moving in and maybe settling down with the wrong person. So part of me doesn't want to feel bad for them because they put themselves in the situation, but the reason, but you know, they both are in sad situations. The thing is, Taylor seems to just try to exploit her situation. She seems manipulative. She seems fake. Whereas Kim, she just seems lost. She seems vulnerable. I just feel bad for her. And she was just, like, falling to the point of not being able to even breathe. And I feel bad for Kyle here. Like, now I totally understand why Kyle is always so, like, protective of her sister and so much of a mother. I mean, to see your older sister, mind you, like going through a total breakdown before your eyes, obviously you're going to want to protect her. You're going to want to like prevent her from having these breakdowns. I'm sure this isn't the first time that she's been like this. She's probably prone to, you know, situations like this. And I really, the more I learn about Ken, I'm wondering what kind of guy he is. I mean, Kyle, we've talked about in News and Gossip how Kyle said, you know, there's things I know about Ken. You know, her kids say he's controlling. And, you know, whatever, I think, oh, well, I trust Kyle's instincts, but I don't know. But then when Kim herself said he's the kind of guy that it's not all my way, he's the boss, I don't know. That didn't sound very good. That sounded like he was controlling. And I don't know. It must be a really tough situation. He has 5 kids from 3 different fathers, and she's trying to juggle the kids' happiness with her own happiness, with this guy's happiness, and, you know, she keeps saying it's time for me to be happy, but she's juggling so many people's happiness, and I don't think that she's doing things that genuinely make her happy. I don't know if she knows what makes her happy. Hopefully when she's in rehab, she'll figure it out.
That was exactly what I was going to say, is I don't think she knows what makes her happy. I don't think she has any, like, direction. I just think she's a total mess. And, you know, you have to wonder, I almost feel like when the cameras are on her, she doesn't even, like, in her own brain, she's not even thinking like cameras. She's just a mess. Like, I feel like a camera could be on her and she doesn't even know it. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense to you the way I'm picturing it, but there are just some people who are in kind of this other world, it feels like, and I feel like that's how Kim is. She could be filmed and not even really realize or think about what impression she's making, and it certainly makes for good TV, but you have to wonder, for somebody who's her sister like Kyle, who's so much more together, if you almost sensed at times that she was trying to almost, like, protect her from the cameras in a way, or, like, try and get her to calm down, thinking about how she's coming off kind of thing. I feel like, as you know, if I were Kyle, I'd kind of want to protect her in that way too, and in all the ways she wants to protect her. So I think it did become not only a tough situation for Kyle to have to feel that and deal with her emotions, but also knowing that the cameras are capturing this. I think it was just a very, very rough thing for Kyle and Kim in their own respects.
But yeah, it was interesting. She's like, if I say I'm happy, because I think Kyle was like, I don't think you're happy with this guy. I think you're doing this, but you're not actually happy. She doesn't seem like the picture of happy is not a woman who's not eating, who's bawling so hard she can't breathe. She's not happy, and I think that she's settling. I don't know why she's choosing to move in with this guy and to move even further into Westlake and far from Beverly Hills and her family. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, there are some people, and I think Kyle, I can relate to her in this way. Kyle's somebody who, as you said, Mari, you trust her judgment. And I think she has really good judgment. Obviously, Kim does not. And the problem with being a sister of somebody like that who doesn't have good judgment is that you can't force them to open their eyes. They have to get to a point, whether it's her deciding to go to rehab or whatever makes her get to a point to sort of wake up in life, which she might not have yet. But it's very hard when you have a kind of a good grasp on life and you want to help your sister get there and she just can't, because people like that have to come to realizations on their own and they may never get there. And that's kind of what's so disappointing about a situation like this.
Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to see from Kim the rest of the season, but, you know, at least we know where she is now. And I kind of almost think that rehab is a better place for her than living with Ken or whatever situation she ended up in, because she clearly was having a breakdown. And it's like, I kind of missed the, like, stumbling, fun, like, Kim that doesn't make sense. I've never seen this side of her before where she, like, never, not last season or this season. I mean, last season you saw her get in a fight with Kyle, but it was like the two of them were really amped up. I've never seen her, like, cry to the point that it was just so sad. I, like, missed the, like, fun, light-spirited Kim, and it was just, like two different people. I feel like there's no in-between with her and her emotions. I feel like it's either all uppity and, like, fun and whatever, or, like, all down.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. And I think no matter which state she's in, it's all still not a good sign. I just think she's really in a mess, and I just really wonder, you know, where she's at now. If I do agree that rehab, I think, might be a good thing for her.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to some news and gossip and predictions.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so first up, I don't know, Jackie, if you saw, Taylor's appearance on Watch What Happens Live after last week's episode. The most interesting thing I thought about that appearance was she says that her and Camille are all good now, and basically she is glad that Camille did what she did and that Camille stepped in and saw that she was only trying to help. So I thought that was interesting, but I still don't agree with this book. And she says that discussing her book on Watch What Happens Live, she got an overwhelming response from viewers, and their outpourings of support have been gratifying. She says, I wish I could have been able to tell my story before now, but until my husband Russell's suicide, I didn't feel safe to bring my story into the light to help all battered and abused women and men and aid them in their struggle. From the bottom of my heart, I believe if my book can help others find the courage to deal with the pain and fear of their abusive relationships, I will have made a real difference in their lives. I still don't think that right now is the appropriate time to release a book. I applaud the idea that she's trying to help domestic violence victims, but I still don't think it's appropriate given what happened to Russell.
Totally agree. This is why I cannot take Taylor, because when she tries to mask things, and of course she was coherent on the show, but it doesn't mean I liked her any better, because she tries to mask this as an attempt and an effort to help others. No, she's using this opportunity to capitalize on things. And that is how I feel about her, even when she was on the show talking about this and bringing up this drama. It's always about jumping on different things and having no depth and only thinking about herself on the show, being a celebrity, being in a spotlight, getting income, making herself even more well-known with a book. If she was really trying to help people, she could discreetly, there's so many celebrities that do so much charity work. She could do so many different forms of way. There are so many different ways to help people other than writing a book. That's not really the number one way, especially at this point and having it be so fresh. That's not the number one step to take to help others in this situation.
Yeah. And now I thought this was an interesting juicy tidbit. Apparently over the weekend, Brandi Glanzo and Leanne Rimes both showed up to Brandi's kids' soccer game, and the pictures speak for themselves. Leanne Rimes is making out with Eddie Cibrian, like, and Brandy's there, and then it looks like Brandi and Leanne are, like, totally ignoring each other in the pictures, even though they're just feet away. Apparently, people were asking Brandi about the run-in on Twitter, and she said, "They are my children. I wouldn't miss the last soccer game if I could help it." So, I don't know. Good attitude by her, but still must be super, super awkward.
I'm sure it's awkward. I'm sure what I think is probably nice about Brandi doing this show is I feel like it almost gives her sort of a bit of courage or sense of self to face a situation like this. You know, I think it might give her, even if she doesn't have someone or if she does have someone, I think kind of landing a role like this, landing some success in its own way is not necessarily a payback, but like, maybe in a way a payback, like, okay, well, good for you too, look at what I'm doing, you know. So I think the show, I almost feel like the show would give her some confidence to sit through that. And you know, of course, with time you get more mature and able to handle things, but nonetheless I'm sure it was still awkward.
Yeah. And finally, since it was announced that Kim Richards has gone to rehab, some of the wives are speaking out about it. Adrian said, "I didn't know she was going, but I support her. If she ever needs anything, I'm there for her. I've always been very supportive of Kim. She's a very dear friend of mine. She's talented and a lovely person." Meanwhile, Dana, I love Dana's response just because she's such a kiss ass. But she said that Kim Richards is a great lady and wished her the best when it comes to her treatment. And Dana also chimed in on Taylor and just what's been going on this season. Because, you know, Dana was originally Taylor's friend, and Taylor brought Dana into the show. Dana said, "We are close. I just don't think we were as close as we were. I'd known that there were problems in her marriage since the beginning of our friendship, honestly. I didn't understand the level of it until things unfolded on the show. It was a challenge for me. We spent a lot of time together filming, and I just wasn't sure how I felt about it being played out on the show. So it was hard. It was a really hard situation." I'm with you there, Dana. I don't know how I feel about it all having all being played out on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I like some good quotes by Dana, you know. I agree with her as well. I think, I feel like Dana, I don't know where her allegiances are, but I don't care. I love Dana, so who cares who she's loyal to, not loyal to, but she did make a good point.
Yeah, so let's get into some predictions for next week, because it looks juicy.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so the white party is finally here, and Jackie, I know that you and Jesse didn't watch the white party last season, but it was a memorable one, so I can't wait to see this season's, because it looks even juicier. I'm not sure, like, what types exactly go down. It looks like Kim finally gets into it with Brandi, because, you know, Kim all season long has just played it like, oh, I'm going to ignore this girl, just, like, literally not acknowledge her presence. but it looks like they get into it. And then I can't understand this whole lawsuit and why Taylor isn't even going to be allowed to walk into the party. That's going to be super awkward. Like, Taylor and Russell are, like, walking up to the door and Kyle's not going to let her in. I think the lawsuit is stemming from Taylor suing over, like, things that people were saying in the press about her, or suing Camille. I'm not exactly sure the lawsuit, that didn't make sense to me, but that's going to be, like, crazy, crazy drama that Taylor is literally walking to the doorstep of the party and not allowed.
I know. I did not see the white party last year, I have to admit, but just watching this preview makes me so excited to see this one. And that drama, I am just, you know, because I do like Kyle. I do think she gets herself in the middle of stuff, but I think Kyle's a good one to have her kind of, not that she's going to go up against Taylor, but I really do want to see that one play out. And I'm not really quite sure how it comes about, but it certainly seems like it's going to be good stuff, and that's certainly the scene I'm most looking forward to, and I hope they don't save it for, like, the last second and then not sum it up for us, because I hate when shows do that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this week was kind of a filler episode. It was, except for Kim, it was a little light on the drama. So I'm actually looking forward to next week's episode, and I can't wait to discuss it with you, and hopefully my other favorite co-host, DJ Jesse J, will be back, and the three of us can discuss all the juicy details. So join us next week, same time, same place.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
Later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.